welcome to the Chris Levels Show, Politics and Prophecy. He will share with you his theme of living life based on principles and not feelings. It's time for a return to our Judeo-Christian roots of laws and repent from the progressive liberal philosophy of what's convenient and feels good at the moment. Join him as he uncovers and exposes the spiritual wickedness that is robbing us of our inheritance that Jesus Christ promised us as a nation if we are obedient to his ways. Here's the host of the show, Chris Levels.
Well, good afternoon. This is Chris Levels. I'm the host of Politics and Prophecy on FreedomizerRadio.com, Blog Talk Radio, and iTunes. You can also find my work on YouTube under Politics Prophecy, no and, no space, just Politics Prophecy. I also have a Politics and Prophecy page on Facebook. So if you want to either come at me, share knowledge with me, whatever you decide to do, I'm not hiding anywhere. I can be found very easily. So I'm looking forward to the shows this week. Today we have our usual guest, who I feel very privileged to have, in Ralph Epperson. And also we have Manny Adami, and coming out of California. With his teachings and what he's learning in his studies. And tomorrow we have E. Ray Moore, Lieutenant Colonel retired. We have him back on the show. And we also have Joe Imbriano of the Fullerton Informer. And Joe has been doing great work. It was just very opportunistic that I was able to catch him and see the work that he's been doing in terms of fighting in Fullerton, California, and informing nationwide, and you can say international, what's going on with 5G, our schools, and many other topics. So after that, we have Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer, whose conference I'm going to be attending, Lord willing, this weekend because of Pastor Mike Spaulding. And Coach Dave, if you have not heard him, you don't want to miss this show. So let's get on with today's show. You know, as I'm sure you know, we struck Syria with over 100 missiles. There's claims that 71 of them were knocked out of the sky. So it all depends on who you believe. They call it a precision strike. I don't know what kind of precision strike you need 100 plus missiles for. But anyway, I took let's just say I had interesting exchanges on Facebook, because I'm not going with the narrative that the slime stream corporate prostitutes want to hand us. And it's amazing that I'm going to have to quit calling myself a conservative. I'm starting not to want to be lumped in with these people, because in reality, they are just as brainwashed as the liberals that they denigrate, and in many ways, rightly so. But they fail to look in the mirror, because here you have, you know, you got to realize most of them, most people, are getting their news. I don't care if you call yourself on the left or the right. Most people are getting their news from the slime stream corporate prostitutes, vomit brokers. And just because you watch Fox and think you're informed, you're just as silly as those people that watch MSLSD and CNN and ABC and CBS and NBC. You're in the same boat. So, you know, you have to have a knowledge of history so that you won't get caught up. But anyway, here's my take on what's going on in Syria through the words of others. And we're going to start off the first one with, I believe, Tucker Carlson, whose rant I played and was just in love with last week. But we're going to start with Tucker today and see what in his conversation with Nigel Farage.
Nigel Farage is the former head of the UK Independence Party. He helped lead the Brexit campaign. He's been a long time, pretty vehement supporter of President Trump, one of the very few on the island in which he lives. He joins us tonight. Nigel, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Trump supporter, what do you make of the move toward engagement war with Syria?
Well, just think about what's happened over the course of the last 15 years or so. Iraq, we went in, we tried to get rid of the Arab nationalist dictator. We succeeded. What was the result? Hundreds of thousands of deaths and chaos. Libya, the same. We go in, we get rid of an Arab nationalist leader that we don't like, and we open the door for ISIS and, of course, the crisis we've seen coming over the Mediterranean to Europe. So our track record of intervening, because morally we think we should, without a proper strategy, without working out a long-term plan, is bad. And let's just look at this. A week ago, the president said American troops would pull out of Syria. Tonight, we appear to be on the verge of perhaps quite large-scale military action, and not just with America, France and Britain joining too. Do we have a plan? Can you imagine if the scale of the strikes was such that Assad got toppled? Do we actually think that would make Syria safer and better? You know, whatever we think, of Assad and the support that he's had from the Russians, they have just beaten ISIS militarily in the field. So there are some big issues here where we have similar interests.
And yet the advocates for this are telling us that somehow Assad, which has been his government has been at war with Sunni extremists for years, was somehow in league with ISIS. So it raises the larger question, why all the lying? What is this really about? I'm honestly confused, but I know lying when I see it, and it's going on now in a large scale.
Yeah, I understand that. But I'm also curious, too, as to why Donald Trump, who was so clear in 2013, as indeed I was, as to why it was not a good idea to get involved in Syria, it was not a good idea to arm the rebels, quite why Donald Trump appears to have had this change of mind, I don't know. It's seen for some time that the globalists in the West need to have an enemy and
yes,
kind of want to have a war. And, you know, going to war is the most serious decision any government can ever take. This should not be done without clear strategy. And I'll give a warning to all the politicians here in Britain and many of those in America. You and your chums in your clubs tonight may think this is the right thing to do. Be very careful and very cautious about public opinion. A poll out in Britain today shows only one in four Britons supports military action, and I'll bet in America it's not a majority either.
But if you don't believe in democracy, it doesn't really matter. Last question quickly. Do you think that one of the purposes of war would be to divert attention from the fact that you're not taking care of your own people? You're elected to look after your own people. And when you don't, maybe having a war is a way to change the conversation.
Yes, it is. It's also a great deflection away from all sorts of social issues, which really give all of our problems great countries. The first role of government is to protect and maintain the interests of its citizens.
Exactly.
However horrible things in Syria are, they do not affect directly American interests or British interests either. And I hope our leaders think again.
I hope so, too. Nigel Farage, thank you for that
thank you.
Clear explanation.
That was Tucker Carlson and Nigel Farage. So let's move on quickly and hear from another individual about the real reason we're in Syria.
By now you've heard that Trump ordered missiles fired into Syria, a sovereign nation, an act of war, without the authorization of Congress. Something he himself criticized Obama for doing just a few short years ago. And while neocons, Zionists, and the military-industrial complex are all celebrating today, most Americans probably can't even find Syria on a map. So here it is. This is where we fired missiles into a sovereign nation, not because it was crucial to national security, not because it was a preemptive strike to destroy weapons of mass destruction, not because it was to contain the ever-growing communism. No, for a much simpler reason. A reason that can be easily seen if you keep looking at that map, and if you pay attention to the headlines that preceded this act of war. The unavoidable truth is, we fired missiles into a sovereign nation because Israel and the House of Saud wanted us to. And at the end of the day, What is America if not the militarized whore that listens to our pimps? The excuse they used was an obvious lie and an insult to your intelligence.
We have breaking news out of Syria this morning. There's new video from Eastern Ghouta, that's a suburb of Damascus, showing several people Syrian activists say were attacked with a suspected chemical agent.
The debate that seems to be missing from this is, and this was actually mentioned by the ambassador, was what possible motive might have triggered Syria to launch a chemical attack at this time in this place. The Syrians are winning. Don't take my word for it. Take the American military's word for it. General Virgil, the head of CENTCOM, he said to Congress the other day, America, Assad has won this war, and we need to face that. So, and then you got last week the statement by Trump, or a tweet by Trump, that America had finished with ISIL and we're going to pull out soon, very soon. And then suddenly you get...
Okay, I'm very sorry. You've been very patient waiting for us, but we do need to leave it there. I'm very sorry.
Even though the real reason is clear to anyone paying attention. So clear, it's even mentioned on their outlets.
What is the American national security interest that would be served by regime change in Syria?
Well, if you care about Israel, you have to be interested at least in what's going on in Syria.
But I just want to get back to the core question that I think a lot of voters have, which is what's the American national security interest that is served? You said if you care about Israel, I do care about Israel, but what's the American national security interest that would be served by regime change? You can think of a lot of potential downsides, deaths, cost, etc.
But you won't do anything. You might even make excuses. Hell, some people are even cheering this. If you can't see who pulls the strings by now, you never will. You will line up for the slaughter, like all the rest have over the years, as the ruling class has sold the blood of our young men to the highest bidder, while you stuff your face with their poison and laugh at the shiny baubles they wave in front of you. For Blackpilled, I'm Devin Stack.
Yep. What do you think? You know, you can call in. The number is 319-527-6208. If you want to express another opinion, you are more than welcome to. I would love to hear somebody come on and challenge the narrative and convince me of why we should go and bomb other countries, sovereign countries, when they have not attacked us. And don't come giving me this crap about, oh, the children were gassed, this, that, and the other. Well, then why haven't we bombed Saudi Arabia for what they're doing in Yemen? There have been many millions of people that are dying of starvation. Well, they're suffering starvation and famine right now. They are being murdered over there by Saudis with our weapons. So why are we bombing the Saudis? That's what I would like to know. But I don't think I'm going to get an answer to this. As a matter of
fact, do you think anything what we've heard from either Sergei Lavrov or indeed the Russian ambassador has made it more difficult for the UK to launch? Do you think anything what we've heard from either Sergei Lavrov or indeed the Russian ambassador has made it more difficult for the UK to launch any kind of attack?
All right, now I'm going to wrap this up as I get to my final points. Webster's definition of subversion, okay? A systematic attempt to overthrow or undermine a government or political system by persons working secretly within that system. From my background, if you're going to engage in subversion or counterintelligence, you're looking for subversion. When they recruit somebody, people have called Barack Obama a Manchurian candidate. That doesn't fit quite well. I mean, it's close, but I think it's subversion. More than a Mandarin candidate was an old. I'm going to wrap this up as I get to my final points. Webster's definition of subversion, okay? A systematic attempt to overthrow or undermine a government or political system by persons working secretly within that system. From my background, if you're going to engage in subversion or counterintelligence, you're looking for subversion. When they recruit somebody, people have called Barack Obama a Manchurian candidate.
Sponsored by the Tri-County Liberty Coalition.
Certain government officials remind me of an extreme case.
We ought to be taking power to block these judges who are runaway, and they're using their position to get their preferred political outcomes instead of following the law of the land. The elites are running us into the ditch, and the American people know that.
Activist judges have been one of the biggest threats to President Trump's agenda since he took office. Whether it's on fighting illegal immigration, lifting job-killing environmental regulations, or halting the flow of potential terrorists from high-risk countries,
thank you for tuning in to Freedomizer Radio, where we have a 24/7 chat room where you can come and share what's going on. Thank you for tuning in to Freedomizer Radio, where we have a 24/7 chat room where you can come and share what's Thank you for tuning in to Freedomizer Radio, where we have
the 9/11 attacks, an inside job, are a glaring example of that desperation. Here is, as I announced at the beginning of this program, the 9/11 investigation executive summary press report released last week from the 9/11 Architects and Engineers for Truth legal team. And before I read this, I'll state this again. For the willfully blind, flag-waving, self-proclaimed patriots in the U.S. who refuse to look at the truth, who blindly gulp down the official narrative, you're not a patriot, you're a coward and a tyrant. We have a responsibility to look at the truth. From this report, executive summary, Lawyers Committee for 9/11 Inquiry, again, total of 3,000 architects and engineers. Petition to U.S. Attorney to report federal crimes to grand jury. The nonprofit public interest organization, the Lawyers Committee for 9/11 Inquiry, is filing a petition with the U.S. Attorney in the Southern District of New York, formally requesting pursuant to federal statute that he present to a special grand jury extensive evidence for the thus far unprosecuted federal crimes relating to the destruction of three World Trade Center towers on 9/11/01. The evidence presented in the petition and the exhibits thereto is considered by the Lawyers Committee, after careful evaluation, to be conclusive. In the petition, the Lawyers Committee explains that the U.S. Attorney is legally required to present the evidence submitted to a grand jury. The 52-page petition, accompanied by 57 exhibits, presents extensive scientific and eyewitness evidence that explosives were used to destroy the three World Trade Center buildings on 9/11, including 1. Independent scientific laboratory analysis of World Trade Center dust samples showing the presence of high-tech explosives and incendiaries in the form of thermite and thermate. 2. Testimony of numerous New York firefighters who were 9/11 first responders that they heard sounds of explosions and saw explosions on 9/11 at the World Trade Center, resembling controlled demolitions, and some reported seeing molten iron like that in a foundry. Again, more evidence of demolitions. 3. Testimony and scientific analysis by numerous architects, engineers, physicists, and chemists, which demonstrate conclusively that World Trade Center Twin Towers and World Trade Center Building 7 were brought down by use of explosives and incendiaries, not by airplane impacts or the resulting jet fuel and building fires. 4, expert analysis of seismic evidence that explosions did in fact occur at World Trade Center towers on 9/11 prior to the airplane impacts and prior to the building's collapse. Now, let's consider, even with this press release of such groundbreaking information, did mainstream media cover any of this? Nothing. Nothing. Thus, we have the criminal tyranny of the so-called mainstream media representatives. And to be fair to them, if that's even deserved, bear with me for a moment and I'll get to what our government is doing right now to ensure that they remain silent. Bear with me, I'll get to that story in a few moments. But anyone who truly claims to care about this country, who claims to care about the future of their children, about the web of life and about right and wrong, has a responsibility to investigate and read in entirety this release from 9/11 architects and engineers, to look at their data and to face reality.
All right, now I'm going to wrap this up as I get to my final points. Webster's definition of subversion, okay? A systematic attempt to overthrow or undermine a government or political system by persons working secretly within that system. From my background, if you're going to engage in subversion or counterintelligence, you're looking for a subversion. When they recruit somebody, people have called Barack Obama a Manchurian candidate. That doesn't fit quite well. I mean, it's close, but I think it's subversion more than a Manchurian candidate was an old movie. Anyway, so if you're going to subvert a government from a counterintelligence perspective, this is what you'd be looking for. You're going to carefully choose a person. Charismatic, speaks well in person, looks good, trained and groomed sometimes for years, waiting for the right time. Was 2008 the right time? Oh, it's perfect. I mean, we were all waiting for a black president. We all wanted one. We wanted to kind of change a little bit. We wanted to be friends with the Muslim world if it would stop them from killing us. You know, the time was perfect. Soros and others come in with millions of dollars. Perfect person, perfect time. Personal background is concealed. Anybody know anything about Barack Obama's college background? Anybody know? Has it been publicized what he did as a community organizer? Ever seen that? No, because it's concealed. They have to create a cover story or an identity that's appealing to the target, right? Change, a new America. We're going to end racism and division. Has that happened? It's gotten worse. And that's part of the plan, frankly, that Soros is connected to several of those movements. Yeah, and 70%, well, we can go into that, but a lot of these organizations that are trying to instill racial division are funded by George Soros. 70% of those were bussed in from other states. And George Soros was connecting in Charlotte. That's correct. Now, you may not like how that sounds, but again, we're following the facts here. And, if we're Americans and we love this country, we're going to follow the facts as best we can. You college students, follow the facts. Please check out everything we're saying here. Please, it's your country. And we don't know how long this is going to go. Okay, secret mechanisms of financial support. I know when we did counterintelligence investigations, the Russians would secretly finance their moles or their plans inside the United States, and we would find out that there's money coming to this person that wasn't connecting anywhere. So there's going to be a secret mechanism of financial support. Of course, the goal is to penetrate high levels of the target government, right? I mean, that's like the cartoon where the cat looks at the little chicken and sees a smoking drumstick. I mean, that's Soviet paradise, man. And that's happened. Soviets penetrated the OSS, which is the precursor of the CIA. Gain control of the target's news media. That has happened throughout history in terms of communist and subversive coups. First thing they do is they get control of the media. Well, how do you do it in a free society? Ching, ching. Lots of money. George Soros. But billions of dollars into news organizations. The editors get paid. They're connected to GE, some of them, which is a big government contract. It rolls downhill from the editor who tells the reporters, don't report on these things. If you do, you lose your career. The young reporter doesn't want to lose their career, so they just follow suit and don't report on that. by not reporting on something is just as bad as twisting it when you do. Okay, compromise the target country's defense so the enemy forces can penetrate. Enough said there. Secretly open backdoor access, enabling enemy forces to enter. The old Trojan horse idea, open the borders secretly. Let people come on in that subscribe to your particular paradigm or philosophy, what have you. So let's look at this. Are we witnessing a subversion in America of the U.S. government? I mean, we're doing a logical analysis here. Let's go through it. Breaking U.S. law to support Islamic resistance fighters in the case of Libya without Congress's knowledge. Okay? Supporting Muslim Brotherhood governments and movements in Egypt, Libya, and throughout North Africa, aiding and abetting the enemy. The Muslim Brotherhood seeks to dismantle and overturn Western and the U.S. governments. Okay? Appointing members of the Muslim Brotherhood to national security positions, not Department of Education, which they're manipulating that too, not some civic organization. We're talking national security positions, directly connected to the President of the United States. Secret meetings at the White House with Muslim Brotherhood and radical Islamic representatives, which are now classified secret. Through the UN, working to criminalize speech critical of Islam, to make speaking against Islam a crime punishable by prison. Okay? Covering up radical Islamic connection to domestic terrorism. Remember Fort Hood? Workplace violence. That was not workplace violence, more than the man in the moon. Well, you know, they've even removed that label now. Every time there's a terrorist attack, a radical terrorist attack, do they come out and say that it was a radical Islamicist? No. They leave it out. This is the media leaving it out. Remember that connection that goes up? Follow the money? Forcing Islamic teachings in public schools. That's happening in public schools. They're teaching the Quran, making them get down on rugs and learn how to pray, whether they like it or not. I'm not downing religious freedom. I love religious freedom. But they're not doing that for other religions. Just that one. Supporting Islamic governments that practice terrorism. Iran. Executive orders undermining Judeo-Christian culture in America. Transgender bathrooms. Now, if a person wants to practice their preference, we were talking earlier, we've worked with people in the field that were of a different sexual preference. You know, it wasn't a problem. But they're pushing that on America, and they're forcing it on the states. They're demanding that the states have transgender bathrooms. The states are saying, we don't want to do that. The federal government is not supposed to be able to control the states like that. But the culture, traditional culture of America, which is what has enabled us to get where we are, is being assaulted because it doesn't fit the progressive Islamic model. Sorry, it's just so. Avoiding Christian holidays and celebrating all Muslim holidays. I was told before I left the CIA, we were ordered to come into it, and I got a couple more minutes here. We were told to come into the conference room. We had an order from the director. So we all filed in there like good troops. My division chief, who's a good guy, said, you know, this is not coming from me. It's coming from the director, so please just understand. You are hereby ordered. You can no longer say Merry Christmas in any CIA office space. If you do so, you will receive administrative action. You can't have manger scenes on your door or on your desk. You got that? The bad thing was only two of us were like, what? Everybody else was like, okay. So we went back to our desk. This was Christmas Eve. So I went home that night and thought about that. I have this thing. I have this love for the Constitution. I just can't seem to get rid of. So I went in the next day at Christmas Eve, and I walked out and turned around to all the cubicles and said, good night, everyone. And by the way, Merry Christmas. Now, what do you think happened to me? I have found out when it comes to real radical progressives, they're like the Wizard of Oz, big scary face. If you don't do this, you'll get sued or fired or whatever. And then you pull the curtain, and there's this little man behind there controlling the levers. All they understand is you get right back at him. Oh, no, you don't. No, not to my Constitution, you don't. Not to my freedom of speech. No. You don't touch that. That's where I draw the line. Now, when you do that, they all go, okay, we didn't really mean that. And that's what happened with the CIA. After the firestorm started, they backed off and said, well, never mind, you know. But if nobody had done that, that would be the rule of the day there. Sanctioning Christian military chaplains, firing them, ordering them to take the crosses out, but promoting Islamic activity within the military. Again, I'm not downing Islam. I'm just telling you we're seeing a threat here, a serious threat. Right? Firing large number of military officers who disagree with the transformation and promotion of Islam. Remember I talked about subversion, one of the steps that you do. You got to weaken the military, right? Supporting support for Islamic Jihad fighters, we've talked about this, there's been several cases of that. Ignoring the Christian Holocaust that's occurring in the Middle East. The estimations that I read, it's been almost a year ago, 100,000 Christians have been killed in the Middle East. Badly. Crucified, heads cut off, some of them are children. Some of them are as young as 3 years old. Brutally murdered. Have you heard anything about that from this administration? One thing. A mention of it. Have you heard anything about that from the news media? What a horrible thing. Has it been on CNN? Has it been on any of them? Why? This is a Holocaust becoming equivalent to Nazi Germany in the number of people that are being brutally, not just executed, brutally murdered. Not a peep. Total silence. Singling out Israel for retribution over and over. Who's Israel's greatest enemy? Islam. Right? Iran. They want Israel wiped off the face of the map. Israel has been targeted, as I have shown several times by this administration. No other country, Israel, fits with the threat. Leaking Israeli defense information shared with the U.S. even classified. Nobody else, not Egypt, certainly, Muslim Brother, no, Israel. Spying on congressional communications with Israel. The NSA eavesdropping on Congress in their discussions with Israel about the Iran nuclear program. Are you shocked and angry yet? Yes. I mean, people out there, man, you got to be angry about this stuff because we have to be motivated. We have got to do something about this. Using the civil rights movement to advance Islam and promote racial division. Obama is directly behind, and so is George Soros. I'm going to make this statement directly. They are directly behind and connected to some of these racial protests that we see, and I'm talking the violent ones. They are directly connected to that. I'm sorry, because you talk to a lot of the black population. They want nothing to do with that stuff. Even the president himself is fomenting this. And it's not just racial equality. It is promoting division, divide and conquer, dividing the United States right down those lines. Black Americans, white Americans, don't let this happen. This is our country. We've got to stop this. You stop it through unity. We're all Americans. That's where we have to go. There are wonderful churches out there that are multicultural. I have a pastor of one of them sitting out here. Black, white, Asian, young, old, and you don't even notice race there. Dave McLennan, a pastor from Statesboro. You don't even notice race there. Everybody has, they're all unified around the Christian belief in that particular church. It's just not there. Unity is the answer. That's how you defeat that stuff. Okay. Influencing the news media to conceal radical Islamic activity. Remember we talked about taking over the news media, one of the fundamental goals of subversion, blocking the FBI from investigating radical Islamic activity in U.S. mosques, even though there's probable cause there are weapons in there. An operational plan. They've been ordered not to do it. Appointing a Muslim CIA director who's now in charge of covert operations supporting jihadist rebels. Use of the NSA to eavesdrop on congressional communications. Talked about that. Secretly paying millions of tax dollars to the Islamic government of Iran. Keep going. We talked about that. In violation of U.S. law, transporting Syrian Islamic refugees into the United States secretly and giving them voter rights. Remember, open the door to your enemies. Supporting the invasion of Europe with Islamic refugees, Soros connection, promoting globalism and the progressive Islamic connection. Billions of dollars, Muslim Brotherhood, overturning the government of Libya, which is now controlled by the Muslim Brotherhood, demonizing Russia because Putin came out and said, I will have nothing to do with you pushing Islam on my country. Believe it or not, Russia is 80% Orthodox Christian. And he told Obama, no, not here. You are not going to do that to my, as a matter of fact, he's banned the Quran. You're not going to do that in my country. And so, and you're not going to come in Syria with these rebels either and start trying to overturn this. He's now being demonized as the new Stalin, of course, which is what they do. But we may have a new Cold War because of this. And as a matter of fact, it looks like that is starting. Putin is starting to deploy subs. He's talking about reinstituting the KGB, God forbid. And we are looking at the beginning potentially of a new world war. Next slide, guys. All right, wrapping it up here. So I wrote an expose on some of this stuff. I go into Sharia law in the book, Radical Islam. I talk about the use of secrecy to cover-ups and things like that. And go to the next slide, and I'll show you as I wrap up here. Apologize. This is what they did to the book originally. Have you seen this sort of thing before? There's nothing classified here. This is talking about a negligence that happened where family almost died. Nothing classified. But they blacked it out anyway. Next slide. Remember this? Same kind of thing. Next slide. So what I did in this particular case, and that's a photograph of one of the actual young men who almost died because of this, I built a code into the book. So if you follow the code, it will reveal what the government did. These blackouts are illegal. This family almost died. That's what they didn't want people to know. We have to, within proper civil constraints, learn to stand up and not be afraid of tyranny. And that's what that was all about. Next slide, please, guys. Thanks. So along those lines, as I finish, since they black out things that they don't want us to know, look at the Declaration of Independence and look what I have in bold there. Stance, which the law of nature and nature's God. Nature's God bolded. We hold these truths to be self-evident. We've been endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, in deriving their power from the council of the governed, and the right of the people to alter or abolish that government and to institute a new government if that government becomes tyrannical. That's our document. That's our founding document. Now let me show you, if that was released today, what the government would do to it. Go ahead. There is the government-approved version right there, if that was today. Seriously. Okay, guys, next slide. So, just in closing, we're in danger. And we're in danger from within. In my mind, there is a subversion going on in our government. It is a transformation. Oh, it's change, all right. It's a subversion aimed at our Constitution to change it or overturn it, to destroy the Judeo-Christian foundation of this country that made this country great, to eliminate or dismantle or take the power away from our military, and to change our entire society away from what it's been for the last 200 plus years. It's happening right now. We are at a turning point. I'm not political. We have an election coming up here. And this is serious. It is so bad, as I have shown in our government and the subversion in our government now. It is so bad and so entrenched that if we don't get an administration that gets in there and changes this, it could be over. I mean, really, our American experiment in freedom, it could be over. It's that serious. I would exhort pastors and synagogue leaders and others, it's time to stand up. I happen to have one here that's pretty courageous, which I admire. There are other pastors that won't come out from behind their pulpit because they're too afraid. If we don't come out and talk about this stuff, we're going to lose our religious freedom. 27 pastors sacrificed themselves in the revolution to get what we have now. If you have to, if you're a pastor, appoint somebody that's willing to, like a lamb at a gyro feast, appoint somebody to go out like me and talk about this stuff, you know, and maybe has a target on their back. I don't know, but you got to do it. We got to publicize things on the internet, social media. We got to talk about it. We got to join organizations that are fighting against this sort of thing. We have to financially support political candidates standing up against this. We have to take action. The time for apathy is over. The time for the kind of the American cowardice. I just want my pension, but I want to kind of stay low until I retire. That's over. We're going to lose our retirements, probably next term. So I just exhort you in closing. We all love this country. We love our Constitution. Our Constitution is in danger. So stand up. Remember the man behind the curtain, the big scary face and the little man behind the curtain. Don't forget that. Don't be afraid. Last slide. My favorite quote. When people fear their government, there is tyranny. When the government fears its people, there's liberty. And we'll always remember. Thank you all very much. I appreciate it.
Christopher Goddard didn't make it. What happened? You can't. Is anybody there? Hello? No, we're not. Are you there? Chris? No, that didn't work. I don't know what's happening. Chris, can you hear me?